नित्यानन्दमहं वन्दे खाणिलम्बितमौक्तिकं शिखान्यव्राजरूपेण पवित्रीकृतभूतगं नित्यानन्दनमस्तुभ्यं प्रेमानन्दप्रदायने कलोकमासनाशाय जनवापतये नमः श्रीकृष्ण कृष्ण चैतन्य सनातनरूपका गोपाल रघुनाथ ब्रज बालबपाहि मां मद्गाव्यरपि गोपालः स्वीकृयत्कृपया यदि तदैवसंभया पीत्वा विषयुस्तत्प्रिया जनः वंशकोपदुरुभिश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतादराद श्रीवासवि गोपभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम I still feel very blessed today. Today we feel like we got some opportunity to get some very special association with Srila Prabhupada. Giving us some very nice prasad and padasevana prabhu. And Mother Kishori telling us a very, very nice story. So thank you all very much, and I feel very, very small in your association. I'm just like your child, Mataji said just a few minutes ago. She said, I'm her son. So you please bless me so we can try to say something for the pleasure of the devotees. Just like sometimes father may be a very expert Odissi dancer. And he has a child, and the child is 6 months old. The child can't walk yet. But the child sees the father dancing, so then the baby's trying to also do some dance, and he's falling over. But it has no meaning, but it gives pleasure to the father. So if our humble words bring some pleasure to the senior Vaishnavas today, then that will have some meaning. Yeah. Otherwise, so we're going to come here for Balaram's appearance day. But somehow Balaram had some other plan in mind. And he changed things. That's okay. That's up to him. But still, we felt that we should say some Balaram Katha. Because Balaram wanted us to come. And although we may not be right in front of Balaram, we are in front of Balaram. Because Balaram is in the heart of all the devotees. So we thought we'd sing something about Nityananda Balaram. And this song, I'll just, maybe some of you might have heard me speak on this song before. Sometimes we go into a very long explanation of this, which may take an hour. I don't want to go in that direction right now. We'll just give a general translation. The author of the song, and we don't really know who the author is, he only signs it Krishnadas. Everyone is Krishnadas. Speak a little louder. Yes, yes, okay. The author of the song identifies himself as Krishnadas. Krishnadas Kohe Mui Bodo Abhagya. But we don't know who this Krishnadas is. And many, many poets, they would hide themselves and just sign Krishnadas. It could be Krishnadas Kaviraj. It could be many different Krishnadases. We don't know. But it's a very nice song. It's a very old song. It's found in the book Gurupada Tarangini, one very big Bengali book, and Padakalpa Taru, another book we have in our library. Two volumes, this big, each book, just Bengali songs, very old book. So the author, he begins by describing the nature of Lord Nityananda and his relationship with him. Adosha Darasi Mora Prabhu Nityananda. He says, Mora Prabhu. We spoke something about this morning. He's my Prabhu. Why is he my Prabhu? Because he's a Dosha Darshi. He doesn't see any fault. I need someone like that. Please think about it. This is the nature of love and the nature of friendship. The nature of friendship is it's adosha darshi. If you remember all the bad things I've done, then he won't want to give me prasadam. Our friend is that person who, in spite of our mistakes, they still love us and they still forgive us. And Srila Prabhupada was like that. He loved the devotees and he forgave the devotees. Sometimes the devotees would make big mistakes and Prabhupada forgave them. Prabhupada writes in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 8, he says, a word for word quote, the qualification of a devotee is that he's adosha darshi. He doesn't see faults in others. So this is the nature of Lord Nityananda, and we want to work in his court. We were speaking about this morning. There's a word in Sanskrit found in the Brihannaradiya Purana, papagananam. Papagananam literally means someone who's noting down all the faults and offenses of someone else. So he has a job and he's working for someone. Who is he working for? He's working for Chitragupta in that particular court. And who's the high judge in that court? Yamaraj. So I don't want to work in that court, because if I have to come before that judge, I'm going to be in big trouble. I want to work in the court of Lord Nityananda, where Nityananda Prabhu, he's the high judge. And in that court, the high judge, he's adosha darshi, very nice court. He doesn't see fault. But the author of the song, he's crying. He's saying Nabajino Heno Prabhu, Charanarabinda. Even though he's adosha darshi, I'm so abhagya, so unfortunate, I never worshipped him. I'm very, very unfortunate. What do you mean, Baba? You never worshipped him? Here we have a nice assembly of antaranga bhaktas, internal devotees. So I can ask you, it's a simple, not a trick question. Does anyone here not worship Lord Nityananda today? Is anyone here not even one time said, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda? Is there anyone here who hasn't done that? And we're not speaking about Namabhas or Namaprabhu, in a simple way, with your mouth saying that thing. We've all said that. So then why the author of the song is telling Nabajino Heno Prabhu, Charanarabinda, I never worshipped him? Maybe it's just some poetic words, and we should cut it out of the song. No, it has a purport. Because to worship Lord Nityananda, you have to become like Lord Nityananda. How do we worship the sun? We take a ghee lamp and offer to the sun. How do we worship the Ganga? We take Ganga jal and we pour it in the Ganga. We worship them with their own quality. We worship Lord Nityananda by being adosha darshi. So he says, Hoi re na jani mui came on asura. I didn't know. I'm a demon. I never worshipped Lord Nityananda. I'm acting like a great devotee, but really, I'm a demon. There's a very nice prayer we came across recently to Srimati Radharani. Pasandaham maho nityam paraparada dharmakaha kshamasramam hare radha dehi me sadhu dharmakam. Pasandaham, I'm a pretender. I'm a bogus person. Another word for Pashandi is an atheist, a hypocrite, imposter, pretender. Pasanjaham. And a whole nityam paraparada dharmakaha. What is my dharma? What is my nature? I'm always doing offenses. A whole nityam paraparada dharmakaha. Sama Samam Hare Radha. Oh Srimati Radharani, please forgive me. Dehi me sadhu dharma kaha. Please make me into a sadhu. Make me into a saintly person. This is a prayer of the devotees. So he's saying, I never worshipped him. Payana bhajinu heno doyara takura. He's doyara takur, the deity, the takur of mercy. But I never worshipped him. Because I never adopted that mood of mercy. Hoi re abhaga prana kisuke achaha. And then he prays to his own heart, my prana. Hoi re abhaga prana. You're very, very unfortunate, my dear heart. Kisuke achaha. When are you ever going to be happy, Baba? You've had every piece of candy, every little toy, red truck, every bicycle, every girlfriend, every car, every cell phone, every little toy that you wanted to have, but you're still not happy. Better that you die. Nitahi boliha keno mariana jaha. What's the value of your life? You're like a ghost. A ghost is a living entity, a spirit soul. It has a subtle body of desires. But it has no physical body. It can't drink, it can't eat, it can't engage in sensual activities. But he has all the desires for that. So we're like that. We have so many desires that we can't fulfill. He says, better you die. Nitai boliha keno. Mariana Jaha. But before you die, just one time, call out the name Nityananda. Nityananda!
Nityananda.
And then you can die. That doesn't mean that you should take your life away. Arisanasana will be very angry with me if you do that. But it means that we should die materially. We have so many desires. I have one friend who's been married, I think, for 6 times. And each time his wives have kicked him and left him for some other man. But still, looking, oh, this girl, she's very nice. Maybe she'll be different. He has some hope. And this hope is what's continuing our material life. We've suffered every time. But still, maybe this one will be different. Maybe I'll get some pleasure here. We have to become hopeless. No hope. No hope left. And then we can really call out the name of Lord Nityananda. When we become hopeless, we can really call out to him. Nitahi karuna suni pasinamilaya. Nityananda, we may ask him, what do you want with my mercy? You have to say, hey, Baba, I know you. Nitair karuna suni pasana milaya. Just by hearing about the glories of your mercy, the stones melt. Parhoire daruna hiya nadara betaya. My heart, harder than a stone. My heart won't melt. My heart is hearing your glories, but my heart's not melting. Did I do some offense? Nitahi chaitanya apa radha nahi mane jare tare nija prema bhakti kori dane. No. Nitahi chaitanya apa radha nahi mane. Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they don't take any offense. Rather, jare tare nija prema bhakti koridani. Nija prema bhakti. Rather, they give their own prema, their own ecstatic love. But we have to have some qualification. We have to become adosha darshi. And the author of the song, he sings, taranam loite na Gale morahiya niraparadinam loi pai premadana. This Krishna prema is distributed through Krishna nam. But I am not chanting Krishna's name. It's not appearing in my heart. It's not appearing even in my throat. What does that mean? If you go to Jagannath Puri, there are five different primary deities of Lord Shiva, Pancha Mahadev. And one of them is Nilakanteshwar Mahadev. And he's on the bank of Indrajumna Sarovar. And they say that he was established by Maharaj Indrajumna in Satya Yuga a long time ago. And this deity, he's known as Nilakanteshwar Mahadev because he drank the ocean of poison. When the devas and the daityas were churning the ocean of milk and the Kalakuta poison came up, it was a big problem. And they didn't know what to do. So they went to Krishna. Please help us. Pahimam, Pahimam. And Krishna told him, you go to Mahadev. He can solve the problem. Krishna could have solved the problem. No difficulty. But he told him to go to Mahadev. Why? Because he wanted to glorify Lord Shiva. Because he's so close with Krishna. So they went to Lord Shiva and they said, Krishna told us to come to see you. You can solve the problem. Well, Krishna said, okay. So then he took that poison and he put it in his throat. Now question comes, why didn't he swallow it? He could have done that. And then why didn't he spit it out? Why did he keep it in his throat? He kept it in his throat and his throat turned blue. And he became known as Nilakanteshwar Mahadev. Why didn't he swallow the poison? Because he knew who was in his heart. Sadavo hridayam mayam sadhanam hridayam tvaham. Maramyate na janati naham tevyo managapi. He knew Krishna's in my heart. How can I swallow the poison? He'll suffer. So then why didn't he spit it out? Because he knew who was on his tongue also. Krishna in the form of his name. He took the poison in his throat because Krishna told him, but he couldn't spit it out because Krishna's there. So the author of the song, he's lamenting that Krishna's name is not residing in my heart or in my throat. Krishna dasa kohe muhe bodo abagiya ami bodo abagiya. He says, I'm so very, very unfortunate. I have no taste for this holy name. So, we'd like to try to say a little something about a pastime of Krishna in connection with Lord Balaram. And we can recite some prayers to Lord Balaram first. Namaste to Halagrama, Namaste Mushalayuda. Namaste Revati Kanda, Namaste Bhaktavatsala. Namaste to Halagrama. Or obeisances to you, O Balaram, you're carrying the plow. It's said that when Krishna and Balaram came out of Mathura to fight with Jarasandha, Balaram was carrying his plow. And when the enemy soldiers saw him coming out with a plow, they practically fell off their horses laughing. He's going to come out. Look, he's a farm boy. He's a village boy. They were making fun of him. He's coming out with a plow. And they got a big surprise. He showed them what that plow can do. And he killed all of them. So we think of Balaram in this way, and especially in New Mayapur. He plows the ground. And my grandma said, the Balaram, he plows the field of our heart so that our hearts can become attracted to Krishna. So therefore, Karshana, this cultivation has done by Lord Balaram with his plow so that we can become attracted by Krishna's flute. Namaste Mushalayuda. His Mushalayuda is carrying his club. He doesn't usually carry his club in Vrindavan. But he does in Mathura and Dwarka. Namaste Revati Kanta. Obeisances to you, O husband of Revati. Namaste Bhaktavatsala. Obeisances to you, who are Bhaktavatsala. very merciful to your devotees. Namaste, Balinam Shesta. We offer obeisances to you. You're the best of all strong persons. Namaste, Dharani Dhara. You're Dharani Dhara. Dharani means that personality who holds up everything. One of the names for Lord Ramachandra is Dhanudhar. Dhara means to hold something up. And that personality is Dharani, is the earth goddess, because she's holding up everyone. And that person is Dharani Dhara, who's holding up the earth in his form of Ananta Sesh, is Balaram. Namaste, Dharani Dhara. Pralambare, he's the enemy of the demon Pralambasura. Trahi Imam Krishna Purbaja. Please deliver me, O elder brother of Krishna. So many different topics are there about Lord Balaram. I'd like to speak something to you from a seminar that we gave last year, the year before, about Kaliya Damana Leela. This is a relevant subject. Srila Prabhupada, Kaliya Damana Leela is that pastime where Krishna chastises Kaliya in Vrindavan, and he shows us how to reside in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada once said when he visited Gita Nagari, the purpose of our movement is to establish Vrindavan villages all over the world. This is our purpose, and we want to make our hearts into Vrindavan. Otherwise, you can't just artificially bring a few trucks of soil from Braj and dump them down in some place and say, now this is Vrindavan. My Guru Maharaj said, who is really a resident of Vrindavan? Kamsa. He was born in Vrindavan. Is he a Brijbasi? Putana. She was also born in Vrindavan. In Braj. Are they Brijbasi? No. Because Brijbas is a state of consciousness, a state of the heart. So Srila Prabhupada said, the purpose of our movement is to establish Vrindavan villages. We want to make these villages in our heart. But there's a great problem in Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. This pastime of Kaliya Damana Leela is told in many, many different Puranas. The Bhagavatam is told in Vishnu Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, shortly in Padma Purana, in Harivamsa Purana, Garga Samhita, many, many different literatures, as well as different commentaries of our acharyas. And we've collected some different things from those. It's very interesting, in the very beginning of this pastime of Kaliya Damana Leela, the same phrase appears in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Vishnu Purana, many different Puranas. It says, Dina Ramena, without Balaram. So this pastime is connected with Balaram in a very interesting way. Balaram wasn't there. Why wasn't he there? And what was Balaram's involvement in this pastime? We'd like to try to speak a little something about that. Mm-hmm. It said that one morning, that day was Balaram's appearance day, and therefore Mother Rohini and Mother Yashoda, they kept him back so they could cook something special for him. That's one reason why he didn't go. But as we'll explore a little bit later, I'd like to suggest there's also another reason why he didn't go. We'll come to that. So, previously, Mother Yashoda, she told Krishna, you can go anywhere that you want when you're herding the cows in Braj, but don't go by Kaliya Radha, the lake of Kaliya. Kaliya had been living in the Jamuna River for many kalpas. This is also a very interesting point. How is it that Kaliya, who's not a very nice person, how is it that he's living in the Jamuna for many kalpas? What is the meaning of Kaliya? Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he says that Kaliya Damana Leela represents driving out malice and envy. And that's all that he says in Krishna Samhita. He doesn't give any explanation. And if you look in Vaishnava Toshini, a Sanatana Goswami. There's no indication about it. If you look in Saartha Darshani of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there's no explanation. You look at all the different commentaries of our acharyas, no one's saying like this. What does it mean? We were thinking about this. What is the meaning of the word Kaliya? We found out that it means Kala, Kaliya iti Kala Iya. Kaliya means Kala and Iya. Two things. What does the word Kala mean? Kala has a number of different meanings. The word Kala means black. Mm-hmm. Kala means also a poisonous black snake. Mm-hmm. That's what Kala means. Kala also means abuse, a censor, criticism. This is also a meaning of Kala. Mm-hmm. Kala also means night, the darkness. And Kala means iron. And what is the meaning of Iya? Mm-hmm. Iya is the suffix Iya, just like in the word Gaudiya. We have that word Iya and the word Gaudiya. What does it mean? It means someone who resides in. Gaudiya, a Gaudiya Vaishnav, is a Vaishnav devotee who lives in Gaudadesh, or who is a member who is within the Gaudiya line. So Kaliya means someone who lives or has all these different qualities, who resides in that. Hrada is the place where he lives. He lives in Kaliya Hrada. What does Hrada mean? Hrada comes from the same bij dhatu in Sanskrit, the same root meaning as Hrida, or the heart. So Kaliya also means a black heart. And he was very, very poisonous. How is it that he was able to live in Vrindavan for so long? Mother Yashoda told Krishna, don't go to that place. You can go anywhere else that you want. So that particular morning, Krishna was very, very curious. So he asked his Dauji, Balaram, his elder brother, Obai, can I have permission? I want to go to Kaliya Hrada. I want to see that place. The boys are very naughty. Is it true, Mataji? Boys are very naughty? Yeah.
That's fair. It's a sign of intelligence.
This is very intelligent. So Balaram told him, okay, you can go, but don't go in the water. Okay. So Krishna went there. He took the cows and the boys, they went to that place. And the cows were very happy because they had never gone to that place and all the grass was growing very thick, big and tall. Mm-hmm. So the cows were there and they were eating from that grass. Kaliya had poisoned the Jamuna. Mm-hmm. While he was there, Krishna had decided to himself, Tat asya sarpa rajasya kartavyo nigraho maya yateyam saridambodha bhavich chiva jalasaya. This is in Hari Vishnu, in the Vishnu Purana. He said, actually it appears both in the Hari Vamsa and in Vishnu Purana. He says that chiva jalasaya. He said, this water, which is the life of Braj, the Jamuna is the life of Braj. Water is the life of everyone. And the Jamuna is the life of all the residents of Vrindavan. This water is becoming poison. And I have to do something about it. And his Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Kavi Karnapur says, Jamunaya Hridrogaha. Huh? Simple Sanskrit. Jamunaya Hridrogaha. Kaliya was a heart disease in the Jamuna River. He was poisoning everything. Sarvada Bhaya Prada. He was the cause of fear for everyone. And Bahu Yuga Vasam. He'd been living for many, many yugas, the Bhagavatam says, there in the Jamuna. So the boys and cows had gone ahead of Krishna that morning. Krishna was coming behind him. And before Krishna arrived there, the cows were feeling very thirsty because of the hot sun. And the cows went and drank the water from that Kaliya Hrada. The water in that Kaliya Hrada was so terribly poisonous that even the birds that would fly overhead would fall down dead You may ask why Kaliya was so envious even of the birds. Think for a moment. Why did Kaliya go there? Because of the king of birds. The king of birds drove him there, Garuda. So he had some enmity with the birds. So the cows, they went and drank that water, and the cows fell over dead. And then the cowherd boys, when they saw that, they were horrified. They thought, better that we die. The cows were our life. Now they're lying there dead. How can we return without the cows? So the boys went and they drank the water, and they fell down, also dead. In his Bhavartha Dipika commentary on this section of the Bhagavatam, Srila Sridhar Swami says that these boys were Nitya Parishads. There is no question of their dying. Sanatana Goswami in Vaishnava Toshini, he says that they lost their consciousness by the divine will of the Lord. And it was all going on by Krishna's desire to drive Kaliya out from Braj. Similarly, Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu, he says that they were all unconscious by the will of Yoga Maya. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Sarita Darshani says that they'd all fallen unconscious, meaning that Yoga Maya had covered their life errors. Otherwise, the boys were eternal. So when Krishna arrived there and saw the situation of the boys, Krishna stopped. In Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, he describes what Krishna thought to himself. Yagava kalu devata brajasadam asmakam uchaishtaram yibalascha sadaiva jivatulitaste mi vipanapuraha hahanda swayam asmitat sahachara kim brataram mataram tatam sarva janam cha vachmi mama dik. Chapalyata sahasam. He says that the cows, like the other inhabitants of Braj, they're all equal to the devatas. And the boys are equal to my life. And now they've all fallen here dead. What can I do? I am their only helper. And Krishna thought, just like all boys think when they do something wrong or something bad happens, what am I going to say to my mother? What am I going to say to the boys' mothers and the fathers and the peoples of Braj? And he thought, Dikchavalyata sahasam. That my misfortune, I have this impulsive nature, very, very bad. So, at that time, it's said by Jiva Goswami that Krishna began to cry. And we can understand that when Krishna cries, those tears are an external manifestation of his internal bhav. In other words, the feelings of Krishna and the feelings in Krishna's heart manifested in the form of water coming from his eyes. And those tears fell down on the boys and the cows, and it brought them back to life again. It's said that the boys who were not directly in front of Krishna didn't revive their external consciousness immediately. The ones who were first in front, they did. And you may say because of the distance, but Jiva Goswami says there's another reason, because Krishna, it was a very emotional reunion. And Krishna wanted to lovingly embrace each and every boy who had died and was coming back to life again. And if he would have revived everyone all at once, there wouldn't have been any sweetness there. So after the boys, quote, came back to life, they regained external consciousness and sat up, then Krishna gathered them all together and embraced each one of them. And then they just sat with tears in their eyes, looking at Krishna's beautiful face. And then the cows, they began mooing. And they came and they began licking Krishna's body again and again, also expressing their happiness, their gratitude for Krishna reviving them and exhibiting their deep, intense love for Krishna. a question comes that why is it that Krishna didn't kill Kaliya? Or why didn't he drive him out previously? One answer is there, you may know, that because of Kaliya's wives. Kaliya's wives were devotees. And out of respect to them, Krishna didn't kill Kaliya. And he didn't drive Kaliya out previously. But at that point, Krishna became unable to tolerate the situation anymore, and Krishna became very angry. But Krishna understood the nature of his friends, and he hid his anger from them. And Krishna said, "Oh Bhaya, oh friends, just look. This wicked snake Kaliya lives in this lake, and by his presence the whole lake has become poisonous. Even the birds flying overhead have become dead." And he told the boys, "You see this kadamba tree here? Just wait here for a moment. I'll climb this tree, I'll go up to the top, and let me see what's going on. And you stay here and watch over the cows." Now some acharyas, they say that that tree had died due to the poison of Kaliya, but that when Krishna climbed up it, it regained its life. Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, he says the tree was already alive because Garuda had previously sprinkled some amrit, some nectar on that tree. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Garuda once sat in the tree drinking nectar, and that tree became, it lived with the hope of being blessed by Krishna's feet in the future. So Krishna, he decided at that time, as he's climbing the tree, "I want to have some fun. Some Jala Krida Leela, some water pastimes. It's a very hot day here in Braj. I'd like to go swimming." So Krishna then, he climbed to the top of a tree, and Kavi Karnapur says that Krishna then, he gathered all of his locks of hair and he tied them back, put some turban around his hair, and he took another cloth like a wrestler and tied it very strongly around his waist. And then he clenched his fist in a sign of victory. And then at that time, Krishna, he turned to the boys who are down below, and he told them, "My friends, you don't be afraid. Everything is okay. My effulgence will dispel all misfortune. You stay here with the cows." In Vaishnava Toshini, Sanatana Goswami says that Krishna dove head first. And in Anandabrindavan Champu, Kavi Karnapur says that Krishna jumped into the river just like a kingfisher bird flying over the river, jumps in to get a snake or some fish. Prabhupada says that when Krishna jumped into the water of the Jamuna, the water overflowed its banks by 100 yards on both sides, as if something very large had fallen into it. Krishna is very big. When Krishna jumped into the Jamuna, at that time there was a huge wave of poisonous foam that started flowing in to the bank. And when the boys and the cows saw that, they all ran away in fear. The Brahmavivarta Purana says that that wave was 100 feet high. A big wave. When the boys saw that Krishna had jumped into the river, they also began to enter into the water, because our pranabandhu, our dear friend, he's entered into the water. We should also. How can he go in the water by himself? We'll also go in the water with him. So they also started to go in. But why did they stop? Because they saw, if we enter in, then the cows will also follow us. And if the cows follow us and they die, then Kanu, Krishna, he'll become very, very disturbed in his heart. So the boys stopped themselves with the hope that Krishna would again come out of the water. Then Krishna began to sport in the water and began slapping his arms on the water and making a huge noise. Sanatana Goswami says that it wasn't an ordinary sound, but it actually Krishna was playing music. There's a kind of music, you hit the water in a certain way and you can make different notes. And Krishna was playing very beautiful music. But Kaliya, he didn't have, he wasn't a very cultured person. And he had no appreciation for music. So he became very, very upset. And Kaliya came up out of the water to see who was attacking his home. And he saw Krishna there in the water. And when he saw Krishna, he saw, the Bhagavatam describes, Tamprekshaniya Sukumara Ganavadatam Sri Vatsapita Vasanam Smita Sundarashyam Kridantamapritadayam Kamalodarangrim Sandharsha Marma Surusabhujaya Chachada. When he saw Krishna, he thought, oh, very, very beautiful. I've never seen such a beautiful boy. Krishna was wearing very beautiful yellow silken garments. He had a very delicate body. And his body was shining like a glowing white cloud. On his chest, the symbol of Srivats was there. And he had a very beautiful smile on his face. And he was playing fearlessly in the water. But the Bhagavatam says, at that time, Kaliya wrapped his coils around him and he bit Krishna on the chest. When the boys saw that, they were so horrified. They were thinking, are we awake? Is this some kind of horror movie? Some kind of terrible thing that we're watching? Is this some dream? Have we fainted? They couldn't distinguish that. Kaliya thought that he would crush Krishna in his coils and kill him. Kaliya, the Jiva Goswami says, was like pride incarnate. And Jiva Goswami says, to crush Kaliya's pride, Yoga Maya produced a shield to cover Krishna's body. Harivamsa Purana says that Kaliya was so furious that fireballs were coming out of his mouth, poisonous fireballs. He looked as dangerous as a fire of devastation. And the Brahmavivarta Purana says that Kaliya became so angry that he swallowed Krishna up. And then Krishna, Kaliya found, was like a burning rod of iron inside of his throat. So Kaliya vomited Krishna out, and his teeth became broken and blood was oozing from his mouth then. So then the Vishnu and Harivamsa Purana say that many different snakes were there, Kaliya's friends, and they all came and they started biting Krishna and coiling around him. But Kaliya, he was wondering to himself, Kavi Karnapur says, that he was wondering, what is this Krishna? Who is this unknown person who came here? Where has he come from before? And he heard about something about him. This is that same boy who killed my friend, Agasura. Agasura is another friend, snake. They were snake friends. He's the same personality who killed my dear friend, Agasura. So then he concluded that this Krishna must have the ability to expand himself unlimitedly because he expanded so much in the body of Agasura and killed him. Sometimes we give some analogy about Agasura. Once we were in the Delhi temple, and some devotees came. There's very nice temples, very, very good preaching, and they've worked so very hard for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure. But sometimes a little hard in a big project, and there's some politics. And some devotees came, and they're saying this and that, and I told them, I said, it's like Agasura. When the boys entered into Agasura, they went in without Krishna. And I suggested that the institution, the temple, is like the Agasura demon. If you try to enter into it without Krishna, then you'll get swallowed and you'll die. You'll lose your individuality and you'll die. You'll spiritually die. But later on, when Krishna came in that mouth of Agasura, Agasura died, that same body of Agasura became a playground for the boys. So if we go with Krishna, that same demon, in the form of an institution or project, becomes a playground where we can sport. So, due to his envy, Kaliya couldn't recognize Krishna. So Krishna was a drishta chastam, the Bhagavatam says. For some time, he didn't move, Adrishta Chaitam. He was wrapped up in the coils of Kaliya. And the Bhagavatam describes, Tamnaga boga parivaitam adrishta chaitam lokitat priyasaka pasupabhisarta krishne ripatma suridarta kalapta kama dukanushoka bayamura diyoni petu. When all the different members of the cowherd community saw Krishna enveloped in those coils, they'd given everything to Krishna. They became merged in the ocean of grief, and they fell to the ground unconscious. Vishwanath and Sanatana Goswami says that there were some cowherd men and farmers who were there in the vicinity, and they saw what was happening, and they fell down like trees cut at the root. So in his Vaishnava Toshani, he says that Sanatana says a very interesting thing, which is not found in any of the other commentaries. He says that when Kaliya was wrapping his coils around Krishna to crush him, actually he was embracing Krishna with love. And that when Kaliya was biting him on the chest, he was actually kissing him in love. A very interesting commentary. We examine very carefully. No other acharyas say this. What does Sanatana Goswami mean? How can we understand Kali is embracing Krishna, kissing Krishna? Sanatana Goswami said that Krishna wasn't moving because of the loving embrace of Krishna. Vishwanath says that he didn't move because out of heroic pride he was telling Kali in effect that, okay, as we say in America, when two boys go to get in a fight, one boy says, okay, give me your best shot. Go ahead, hit me as hard as you can. Let's see what you got. So Krishna was telling Kaliya that. Let's see how strong you are. You go first. Show me, give me your best shot, and then I'll show you how strong I am. Afterwards. At that time, the cows and all the forest animals there on the side of the river, the Bhagavatam describes, Gavo Brishya Vatsar Tarai Kandamana Sudukitaha Krishne nyastikshana bhita rudham cha eva tashtire. That time all those cows and bulls and calves, they began to cry out to Krishna. They were looking at Krishna. They couldn't move their eyes away from him. They were ready to cry, but they couldn't cry because they were too shocked to shed tears. And Vishwanath says, because the water had dried up in their eyes out of fear, they couldn't really weep. So it said that they were as if weeping. And Sanatana Goswami says they were making very, very painful sounds. So at that time in Vrindavan, all kinds of inauspicious omens arose on the earth and the sky and the bodies of living entities, which announced some terrible danger. There were some meteors in the sky. On the men on the left arm and left leg of the men, their body began twitching, their left eyes began twitching. And on the ladies, their right eyes, their right arm and right legs, they began twitching and quivering. All the plants and trees dried up out of agony. Vishwanath comments on this. He says, there's no inauspiciousness in Braj, and there's no inauspiciousness for Krishna. But to indicate the lamentation of the inhabitants of Braj, the devas did this because the devas are manifestations of the senses. And so to show the lamentation of the inhabitants of Braj, they were manifesting all these different inauspicious omens. So jackals were barking at the sun, and smoke was arising, and so many, many inauspicious omens. At that time when they saw those bad omens, Nanda and Yashoda, they were about to die from anxiety. And they thought, what's happened to our Kanu? What's happened to Krishna? And Sanatana Goswami says that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that understanding their predicament, Krishna sent a telepathic message by some mystical means. Krishna sent a message to one old man who was there on the bank. And he made that messenger, his made that old man his messenger. And that old man went running back to Braj. He made that old man his messenger because he thought if one of the boys go, they may not believe him. But if an older person goes, an old man goes, then the Braj Basis, they'll believe him. Mm-hmm. So when he arrived there, the Braj Basis, they'd already outside of the village. They were already coming together, trying to go to find Krishna. That old messenger then told them that Krishna was there in the coils of Kaliya. In the Sri Krishna Vijay by Gunaraj Khan, it said a worse thing. It said that the boys rushed there and they told Mother Yashoda and Rohini. They said, Mother, listen. Please listen. This morning we went to the bank of the Jamuna with our calves and we were very thirsty and we drank from the water, but it was poisonous. And we fell over and died, and your Gopal brought us back to life. And then he jumped in the water and the snake coiled around him and bit him. And he said, that's all that we know. But we're sure that Krishna must be dead. They told that to Mother Yashoda. They told Mother Yashoda, we think your Krishna must be dead. Uh-huh. Mother Yashoda fell to the ground unconscious. Uh-huh. And then again she got up and they all started to move there. When Balaram saw the situation of everyone, the Bhagavatam says, Prahashakinchanovacha. Balaram smiled and he didn't say anything. What does it mean? Balaram is a very, very deep personality. Balaram stayed happy because he understood Krishna's powers. But when he saw the anguish of the residents of Vrindavan, he thought to himself, they're ready to die out of fear of Krishna's welfare. If I try to stop them, they won't listen to me. And I'm also feeling suffering because of their pain. So their pain can't be erased, but if I acknowledge it, then at least it can become less. So he thought the best thing is to make a little joke and try to make the situation lighter. So Balaram smiled and he laughed. And when the Braj Basis saw that, then they felt a little relief and they began moving. Mm-hmm. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there's another reason why Balaram laughed. He was thinking to himself, this Krishna, he's playing with this big snake, Kaliya. He never plays with me when I manifest my form as Ananta Sesh. But now he's playing with this mundane snake, Kaliya. My brother Gopal. Mm-hmm. He was thinking like that. Mm-hmm. So when the Braj Basis saw Balaram smile, they decided that they wouldn't give up their lives. And Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says that when he saw the Braj Basis running, he started yelling, Mithya, Mithya, it's not true. It's not true. Krishna's not dead. Uh-huh. And then Balaram, somehow he told his mother Rohini to stay back. And we're going to raise this question later on. Why did he tell Rohini to stay back? Why didn't he tell Yashoda to stay back? And why didn't he himself run there very quickly? Mm-hmm. It's an interesting question. So Balaram arrived a little late. All the other Braj Basis had already found where Krishna had gone into the Kaliya Daha, and they were all standing there like dead bodies. They were inquiring from the boys when they arrived there. But as soon as they ran up, they saw the boys, and they asked the boys, what happened? Did Kaliya grab Krishna and drag him into the water, or did he jump into the water? Was this his idea, or was this someone else's idea? Parents are always like that. They're always wanting to know, what did you do? Huh? So then they realized, they noticed, they were asking, but the boys, they realized then, the boys were unconscious. And they couldn't say anything. And when they saw that, Nanda Maharaj and the other Braj Basis entered into a state of shock and panic. Mm-hmm. The women, they fell to the ground like creepers tossed by a high wind, and the men fell like trees. And Nanda Maharaj began crying out, my dear son, why have you done this? Please come back to us. and all the cowherd men, they fell down unconscious. Mother Yashoda and all the elderly gopis collapsed on the ground. And the Bhagavatam describes the reaction of the gopis of Braj. Gopyo nirakta manaso bhagavachanante tatsorida smita viloka girasmarancha grastehina prayatame brisaduka tapta sunyam priyavatihritam dadvisas trilokam. When those gopis whose minds were completely attached to Krishna, when they saw him in the grips of Kaliya, they remembered his smiling glances. Actually, this pastime is very interesting. It's very similar in many ways to the pastime of Govardhanadhara, when Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill. In that Govardhanadhara Leela, all the different Vrijbasis were there in one place. All the different rasas were there at one time. Similarly, with Kaliya Damana Leela, Krishna was there, Mother Yashoda was there, Balaram was there, the cowherd boys were there, the gopis were there, all the residents of Braj were there. Krishna, one of his external purposes of performing Kaliya Damana Leela, and we'll speak a little more about this exact point in a few minutes maybe, is that he wanted to satisfy the desire of the gopis. Because at that time they hadn't met, but they were sometimes smiling at each other and exchanging glances. It's known as purvarag, or separation before meeting. So Krishna gave them the opportunity to look at him to their heart's content. But what were they seeing? Such a horrible, ghastly situation, and they began burning with sorrow, feeling the whole universe was void. So at that time, the gopis began to piteously cry, and their tears made the bank of the Jamuna muddy. When they saw Krishna in the embrace of Kaliya, they also embraced the Sakhi, known as unconsciousness, and they fell to the ground. And then they would regain their external consciousness and start speaking about Krishna's pastimes. Sanatana Goswami in Vaishnava Toshin, he says that Sukadeva Goswami didn't say very much about how the different devotees felt about this because it was too painful for him to speak about. This pastime of Kaliya Damana Leela is described by in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yuvai viharo jani kali yasya hrade yashoda tana yasya tasya samsmartami shona bhavami shoka prahasya vegat katam alapani. He said that the sport, the pastime that the son of Yashoda enjoyed in the lake of Kaliya disturbs me so much with a mixture of both sorrow and happiness that I can't bear to remember it. It's very difficult for me to speak about it. A moment later, Nanda and Yashoda, they fell to the ground unconscious. And then again they got up and they started crying loudly and they rushed into the water. At that time, Balaram came forward. So, please remember these points. Vina Ramena. This is the first interaction Balaram has with his pastime. He wasn't there that day. That's the first pastime, first point. Second thing that Balaram does in this pastime, he pacifies the Vrijbasis, and then he holds Mother Rohini back. Why does he hold Rohini back? His third activity that he does in this pastime, he stopped Mother Yashoda and Nanda. And he stopped all the other Vrijbasis who also wanted to enter into the water. And acharyas say that some of them he physically stopped with his hands. And others, he just looked at them. And still others, he said something, hey, Daruka, don't do this. Stop. He was speaking to Chitchak and Ruttuk. You don't do this thing. He was speaking to the different boys. You stop. So then at that time, seeing everyone, their hearts were just pierced. They were going to die. Unable to enter into the Jamuna, being stopped by Balaram, they all fell to the ground unconscious. And at that time, seeing his situation, his voice full of emotion, Balaram called out to Krishna. Iti na vaikunta nibasi parshada novana dastena chayadava api goloka loka bavareka jivana nasyanta sakya bhagavan mahitvam. He said, Krishna, these aren't your associates in Vaikuntha. These aren't the monkeys of Dwarpar Yuga when you came as Ramachandra. These aren't the members of the Yadava dynasty in Dwarka. These are your dear devotees of Vrindavan. Krishna, they have no life other than you. They're going to die. And there's nothing that I can do to save them. Pranarvayukta nabhavanti yavat tavadino dham karuna tvajaitam krishnam yata goshta janaika bando gandhasi sokam medula svabhavaha. O merciful Krishna, please stop this pastime before your devotees die. Otherwise, Krishna, O personality, you who are the only friend of the cowherd people, your gentle heart is going to suffer. You're going to feel so much pain. At that time, when Krishna heard the words of Balaram, then Krishna decided that he would break free from the grip of Kaliya. And he began to expand himself little by little. And Kaliya was struggling, trying to hold on to Krishna. But finally, Krishna was becoming bigger and bigger, and he wasn't able to hold on to him anymore. And Krishna freed himself. And then with great anger, Kaliya raised all of his hoods and began hissing and breathing very heavily. Kaliya was very, very angry. And Sanatana Goswami says that actually he was very angry out of affection. And because of the Lord's charm, he was simply looking at him. But the Bhagavatam says, Kridanamum Parisarsara Yata Kagendro. At that time, Krishna playfully circled around Kaliya. And then Kaliya had no chance to bite him. When Kaliya would go this way, then Krishna would go the other way. And Krishna was going around him in so many ways. And the Bhagavatam says that Kaliya became exhausted by that. That's a very interesting thing. The same Kaliya who had fought with Garuda, who was so extremely powerful, he became exhausted because someone was going in the other direction around him. There's no commentary on this, but this is a very interesting point. So at that time, the Bhagavatam says, Anamya tat pitu shirasa adiruda. At that time, Krishna pushed down Kaliya's heads and he jumped up on top of them. Anakila kala adiguru nanarta. The original guru of all the arts, he began to dance on Kaliya. Do you know some Kaliya dance? There's some very nice ones we've seen. Vishnu says that this dance, this display of skills, is especially meant not for Kaliya, but for the gopis. And Krishna was indicating something to them. Later on, your time will also come, and I'll dance with you. Krishna is indicating something to them about the Ras Leela. So then at that time, Kavi Karnapur says that the demigods, they came. And the Bhagavatam describes, Tamna-tamudya-tama-vekshita-data-diya-gandharva-sira-muni-chara-na-deva-vado-prithya-birdanga-panavana-kamra-bhajya-gita-pushpo-hahara-nuti-bhi-sahasopa-shedu. All the different Gandharvas and Siddhas, sages, Charanas, and others, they brought their mridangas and other different instruments and flowers, and they began showering down flower petals and playing their mridangas, diktan, diktan, digitan. And the drums began to reside, make different sounds. And then Krishna began to dance to those wonderful beats. and Krishna was dancing in such a ruthless and rhythmic way, he was crushing down the heads of Kaliya and crushing his pride. And by his dancing, Krishna also crushed the pride of the devas, because they couldn't keep up with him, with their mridanga drums and other drums. They were trying, Krishna started going faster and faster and faster, like a fantastic dancer, and the mridanga players couldn't keep up. And finally they just watched, and Krishna was dancing in such an ecstatic way. The Bhagavatam says that Kaliya had 101 prominent heads, and when one of them wouldn't bow down, then Krishna would jump on it and smash it with his feet. And in this way, the Bhagavatam also says that Kaliya had 1,000 heads, but 100 of which were prominent. Mm-hmm. Each time Krishna would break down those heads. And so Kaliya, Vishwanath says, as Sanatana Goswami says, that Krishna was dancing excessively in Kaliya's heads to increase his good fortune. He says that Kaliya was in too much pain to speak aloud, but in his mind he was thinking, I'm yours. I'm yours. Mm-hmm. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Kaliya's wives had preached to him previously. And we know this happens sometimes in our movement also. Sometimes the ladies are very good devotees, and they're trying to tell their husbands, my wife does this all the time, tries to tell me some good advice, but the men don't accept it. Have you ladies experienced anything like that? Yes. Well, because of his pride, he couldn't appreciate Krishna, but he'd heard so much from his wives, who were great devotees. Mm-hmm. But then, Vishwanath says, by the purifying touch of Krishna's feet, Kaliya's offense neutralized, and the seed of bhakti began to sprout. And then the Nagapatnis, they came to Krishna, and they began to pray to Krishna. And that's another subject matter. Their prayers is a very, very big topic. Mm-hmm. And Kaliya became prideless. Brihad Bhagavatamrita says a very interesting thing at that time. That Krishna, he spread his arms out, and he picked up the gopis, and he brought them up on the hoods of Kaliya. Mm-hmm. And Sanatana Goswami, in his commentary on his own book, he says, how could Krishna do that? Kaliya is out in the middle of the lake, gopis are some distance. Mm-hmm. Sanatana says that he's Prabhu, he can do anything that he wants. He's never restricted by the laws of nature. So then Sanatana Goswami describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Tabhi samam teshu mahadbhuteshu rangeshu dibhyar bahugita vadanai nityan vichitram satu kotu karnavo lebhi sukham rasa bilasa sambhavam. At that time, Krishna brought all the gopis on the hoods of Kaliya, and he began to do a Rasleela dance with all the gopis on the hoods of Kaliya. The most fantastic dance you could imagine, because the ground was moving. It was not the ground, it was Kaliya's hoods. And Krishna was dancing with all the gopis there. Mm-hmm. No one had ever seen such dancing like this. So someone may ask, how is it that Nanda and Yashoda, they didn't see that? And Sanatana Goswami says that they were very slow to recover from their deep shock. And because of that, they couldn't see what the little boy was doing before them. And then Sanatana Goswami says another amazing thing. At that time, the Nagapatnis, they were offering their shawls, and Krishna took all those shawls, and he began to tie them together in the form of a rope. And then Krishna put those shawls through the nose of Kaliya, with his left hand, he was holding it, with his right hand, he was playing on his flute, and with his left hand, let's go, he started riding Kaliya like a horse down the Jamuna. This is also very interesting. Kaliya was, who is Kaliya's deadly enemy? Garuda. And who is Garuda? Garuda is the carrier of who? Lord Vishnu. So they're terrible enemies, but who got more mercy? Garuda or Kaliya? Kaliya got more mercy. Garuda, he's the chariot, so to speak, or the carrier of Lord Vishnu. But Kaliya became the carrier of Krishna, and he was in Braj. He got more mercy than Garuda. So, very, very interesting thing. And our acharyas have described that Kaliya got so much mercy. He was his mercy is very famous throughout Vedic literature. So many questions come about this pastime. We'd like to raise these questions now. We raised a few already, and we'd like to try to answer them. First question is that if Kaliya's wives were devotees, why did they marry Kaliya? We all know some ladies in our society. I have one friend, one Prabhupada disciple, Mataji. I won't say any names, but she was in one temple, we'll just say, in America. And the Zonal Acharya Guru at the time, who's no longer acting in that role, he was sitting giving Bhagavatam class one day, and then all of a sudden he said, "So, such and such, we just want to announce to everyone that this Mataji is going to marry this devotee they call Viraha. Viraha means the pig incarnation. And this devotee, actually I went on Sankirtan with him once, he had a very good name, Viraha, because he had a habit, he would only take bath maybe once or twice a month. I'm serious. we were going in the van together. I was driving. I had to have the window rolled down so I could breathe. It was very, very difficult. And we went to Las Vegas together. We were trying to sell some books and do collections. And all of a sudden, he disappeared. And I didn't know where he was at. So I just parked the van there. I was waiting. And then about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, he came in the van with a cigarette in one hand, and he was completely drunk. Hare Krishna. So this poor Mataji is sitting in class, and this guru says, "So, tomorrow, these two are going to get married." And she started crying. Can you imagine? They had a daughter, actually. They were married for some time. It didn't work out. Anyway, that's another story. So the question comes, how is it that the Nagapatnis are great devotees, and they marry someone who's like Kaliya? My friend thought she had it bad, but her husband wasn't as bad as Kaliya, a very deadly poisonous snake. And then, what is the significance of Balaram's not coming? Second question. Third question, why was Kaliya not killed? Krishna killed all the demons in Braj, but he didn't kill Kaliya. Why not? Fourth question, how was it that Kaliya got the good fortune to have Krishna's feet on his head? Even Garuda, we were saying, Lord Vishnu's riding on him, but he's not putting his feet on Garuda's head. But Krishna put his feet on Kaliya. Next question. How is it that Kaliya survived the fight with Garuda? We didn't tell that story, but I think all of you know that Garuda was fighting with Kaliya, and Kaliya had to run to the Jamuna, take shelter of the Jamuna. Why is it that Garuda didn't kill him? Garuda is a very, very powerful personality. And another question, how is it that Kaliya got the good fortune to enter into Vrindavan and stay there for so many yugas? And another question is there. In a book called the Hari Bhakti Ratna Prakash, Mahaprabhu's associate Raghava Pandit, he says that it was directly Krishna, not Vishnu, who chastised Kaliya. All the other demons, it wasn't Krishna. Prabhupada says this someplace. Krishna doesn't kill the demons. But this demon, it was directly Krishna who chastised him, not Vishnu. Usually there's a Vishnu expansion who fights with the demons. But this time it was directly Krishna. Why is that? And the last question, this is the question that I came up in my heart, which disturbed me very much. How do we say that Kaliya got Krishna's mercy? Can we accept that? All of you, you're aspiring for residence in Vrindavan, I think, I hope. Can we say that Kaliya really got the mercy of Krishna? Okay, Krishna put his feet on his head, he danced on his head. But then what did he do? He said, "Chalo, get out, go away, leave Vrindavan." Is that mercy? How do we understand that? Very difficult question. So, we'll try to answer these questions one at a time. In the Brahmavaivarta Purana, Kaliya, after he was saved by Krishna, he told Krishna, Samprapya tvam manum brahman ananta dyavade vahi tavat tvad bhavanenaiva tvad vargoham anubrahat. He says, my dear Lord, I've always meditated on you because I got initiation. Who did Kaliya get initiation from? I was initiated by Seshanag. He gave me Krishna mantra, Brahmavivarta Purana says. And I was always meditating on you. So why didn't Balaram go? During the battle of Kurukshetra, Balaram also didn't go. Because he couldn't tolerate. He felt so much love for Duryodhan and also for the Pandavas. He couldn't tolerate seeing them fight. How can Balaram, who go to see his disciple, who he loves very dearly, Kaliya? Kaliya is the disciple of Balaram. How can he bear to see his disciple being punished by Krishna? And this is also an answer to the question why Kaliya wasn't killed by Krishna. He was a devotee of Krishna. It's also an answer to how it was that he got the good fortune of having Krishna's feet on his head because he was chanting Krishna's names. And it's also the answer to the question how it was that Kaliya was able to enter into Vrindavan and stay for so long. Because he was a devotee. He was a disciple of Krishna. None of our acharyas speak about this, only Sanatana Goswami. And I remember I had some translation of some of these verses, and some of the verses we had translated. And there was one comment from the translator about Sanatana Goswami. He made a comment. He said, none of the other commentators are saying this. That when Kaliya is embracing Krishna, Kaliya is kissing Krishna. It didn't make any sense to him. And he wrote a point. He wasn't just translating, he made a little comment. None of the other commentators are saying this. But Sanatana Goswami knew. And he's indicating in a subtle way, Kaliya was actually a devotee. Mm-hmm. So he answered the second question, what's the significance of Balaram not coming? Mm-hmm. The same way of Duryodhana. Kaliya was a devotee, initiated by Krishna. So why wasn't he defeated by Garuda? Again, Kaliya, he told Krishna in Brahmavivarta Purana, Smitva Hari Padambo Jam Kaliyo Yudade Rane Muhurtam Cha Tayo Yudham Babuvataiva Dharunam. Kaliya fought with Garuda for 45 minutes, and during that whole time, he was chanting Krishna's name while he was fighting with Garuda. And therefore, Garuda couldn't defeat him. So then, if he couldn't defeat, if Garuda couldn't defeat Kaliya, why didn't Kaliya defeat Garuda? Kaliya describes in the Brahmavivarta Prana, Mamcha Bhaktam Apakvam Va Vigyaya Garuda Swayam Desha Duram Chanakaram Chakara Dhrida Bhaktiman. He knew that I was a Kanishta. I was immature in my bhakti. And so Garuda, who is more advanced than me, he was able to insult me and drive me away from my home. So, we may ask some other questions in these regards. And Shastra describes Kaliya's previous birth. That during the Swayambhuva Manvantara, there were two sages. One's name was Vedasira Muni, and he was a descendant of Bhrigu Muni. The other was Ashvasira Muni. Vedasira Muni, he was living in the Vindhya Mountains. And one day, he had an ashram there. He had his own place, his own temple. And one day, Ashvasira Muni came there to do some austerities. And when he saw that he'd come to his ashram, Vedasira Muni became very angry. And he said, what are you doing coming here? This is my temple. This is my place. You have no right to be here. And he glared at him in a very angry way. And when Ashvasira Muni heard his words, he became angry back and he said, this place doesn't belong to you, Baba. This place belongs to the Lord. This belongs to Mahavishnu, not you or I. So many sages have come and done tapasya here. And he said, you're acting like a snake. Better you become a snake. And then you will see what you're really like. You'll be terrified of Garuda. And Vedasira became angry with him. He said, you're just like a crow. So you should become a crow. And so then, at that time, Lord Vishnu came there And he told those two sages, and they were feeling a little sad because they were having this fight amongst themselves. And Lord Vishnu came and said, "Dhire dhire, calm down. You're both devoted to me. I love both of you. You're just like two arms of my body." He says, "I can make my own words false, but I can't make false the words of my devotees." He says, "So Vedasira, you're going to become the snake Kaliya, and I'll put my feet on your head. And then you'll never have to fear about Garuda." So after Krishna put his feet on the head of Kaliya, Krishna told him, "Now get out." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this indicates because malice has no place in Braj. And he says that Kaliya had to leave Braj because, why? He'd gotten so much mercy from Krishna. Why couldn't he stay in Braj then? He says, because Kaliya didn't take shelter of any of the Braj Basis. He got the mercy of Krishna, but he didn't get the mercy of the devotees of Braj. And so he had to leave. And he had to leave because in Braj, malice has no place in Braj. And Krishna was driving that poison out of Braj. So then Lord Vishnu turned to Asvasira Muni. He said, "You don't lament. You'll become a crow, but you'll become known as Kakabushundi. And you'll speak Ramayana. You'll have transcendental knowledge." So, many different questions. In his Hari Bhakti Ratna Prakash, Raghava Pandit answers his own question, why it is that it was Krishna who directly chastised Kaliya and not Vishnu. He says that because he's Lord Vishnu's carrier, Garuda is a great Vaishnava. And a Vaishnava, he says, is on the same platform as Lord Vishnu himself. And Kaliya was always meditating on Garuda out of fear. But because he was always meditating on Garuda, he got so much benefit by thinking of Garuda, the same kind of benefit he would get from meditating on the Lord. And he says, because Vishnu and the Vaishnava are equal, his meditation was equal to meditating on Vishnu, and therefore he got the mercy of Lord Krishna. So many questions are there. Why did Balaram keep Rohini back? This is another interesting question. The Garga Sanhita describes that during the Chakshush Manvantara, Prajapati Daksha gave 11 beautiful daughters in marriage to Kashyapa Muni. Tesham Kadrush Chaya Shrestha Sadyaiva Rohini Smita. And he said, you should know that amongst them, Kadru, she's the mother of all the snakes. That same Kadru, who's the mother of Kaliya, took birth again in Dwarpa Yuga as Rohini. So why did Balaram hold Rohini back? Because he knew this is Kaliya's mother from a previous life. And a mother, she can't tolerate to see her child chastised. So Balaram held her back. Why was it that Kaliya, or Krishna, was going in the opposite direction from Kaliya? It's a very big subject matter. I can read a few verses to you. In the Udyoga Parva of the Mahabharata, Vidura tells Dhritarashtra, Akrosha Parivada Bhyam Vihimsita Buddha Budan Vakta Papamapada Teik Shamamana Vimuchate. An ignorant person tries to hurt someone else by malice and criticism. That's Kaliya. Kaliya is malice and criticism personified. So an ignorant person tries to hurt someone else by that. But a wise person, he forgives that person who's criticizing him, and by forgiving that person, the critic, then something very wonderful happens. All the wise person's sins go to the critic, and he becomes purified. And the Mahabharata says, Akrosha mano nakroshan manyur eva avitikshita akroshtaram nidahati sukritam chashavindati. A person who criticizes us shouldn't be criticized back. We should go the opposite direction. Krishna was going the opposite direction of Kaliya. And because he was going the opposite direction, Kaliya lost all of his strength. And Krishna defeated him. So the Mahabharata says, don't criticize, if someone is criticizing me, don't criticize them back. Because the pain that you feel in your heart takes away that person who's criticizing you, all their punya, all their good activities, and it comes to you. All of your sins go to him, if you forgive him, and all of his good qualities come to you. Very good thing. So this is what Krishna, this is my humble understanding, why Krishna is going the opposite direction. And why Balaram is holding everyone back. Because Balaram is Adi Guru. And Balaram, in effect, he's telling all of them, you're very powerful, Sridhama, we know you can fight with so many different demons. Sridhama later becomes Garuda. Brihad Bhagavatamrita states, he's so very, very powerful. He can fight, he could have easily defeated Kaliya. But Balaram said, no, this time you all stay back because you can't enter into this water. You may be very powerful, but you can't defeat Kaliya here. You'll all die. Because Kaliya represents malice and poison. So Balaram is Adi Guru. He says, don't enter into this water. You let Krishna take care of this. And Krishna, he took care. He went in the opposite direction. So when this kind of thing comes, we also go in the opposite direction. And we take shelter of Krishna in the form of Krishna's name. And Krishna defeats Kaliya very naturally. But if we try to enter into that poisonous water of criticism, of malice and envy, then we'll die. We can't do it. Balaram can do that. Krishna can do that. We leave that up to Krishna. So we stay out of the water. And then, when did Krishna stop fighting with Kaliya? When he saw that the Brijbasis were going to die. And when Balaram called out to Krishna, hey Krishna, they're completely surrendered to you. They're just taking shelter of you. Then at that time, Krishna came out and defeated Kaliya. So similarly, when the devotees completely surrender to Krishna and take complete shelter of Krishna's name, then Srila Prabhupada and Sri Guru, they come forward and they tell Krishna, okay, stop this pastime. This is too much. Your dear devotees, this is not the devotees of Ayodhya or Vaikuntha, of Ram Leela. These are your dear devotees of Braj, and they're going to die if you don't do something right now. Balaram came and spoke up. He's Adi Guru. So when Guru sees that the devotees are only taking shelter of Krishna, they're completely surrendered, then Balaram calls out to Krishna, Krishna, it's too much now. You have to stop this. And Krishna will do it. But the devotees, if they try to enter into that lake, they'll also become poisoned by that criticism. And we see that. The self-appointed reformers, those persons who try to defeat Kaliya on their own, they can't do it. We can't defeat Kaliya on our own. We have to take shelter of Krishna. So, I remember when we were giving this talk at Govardhan, that we studied this pastime a little deeply, and we tried to consider it deeply according to our bhajan, and we found many things in Shastra, many thoughts came to our heart, many answers and things, but there was one thing which disturbed me very much. One answer I couldn't find. And that is, how is Kaliya really a recipient of Krishna's mercy if Krishna drove him out of Braj? How can I say that Kaliya really got Krishna's mercy? He's a great example of Krishna's mercy if Krishna drove him away from Braj. How can I say that? So I remember that day thinking to myself, I have no answer. So I thought, anyway, I'll tell this to the devotees and let the devotees think about it. Maybe they have some answer. And then that morning, I went and was chanting japa by Govardhan Hill, and we were praying. And then the answer came to my mind. And we gave this answer, and then later on, I'll tell you the answer, but later on, we went to see Radha Govinda Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, very, very learned. Sanskrit has studied so many commentaries, And I asked him the question. I didn't tell him my understanding of it. I asked him, how is it that Kali got, and he gave the exact same answer that we gave. So I felt, yes, it's confirmed. So how is that? How is it that Kali really got the mercy of Krishna? I thought to myself that Krishna was behaving like Srila Prabhupada. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he brought all the devotees, Mother Kishori and other devotees, to Vrindavan. And then they were there in Vrindavan, such a wonderful place, and then Prabhupada told them all, now get out. Go back to your homes. Go back and preach. Well, it's not said, but what is Kaliya going to do? When Kaliya went back to his home, where Garuda is also living, what's he going to do when he goes back there? All of his friends and family, they're going to say, hey, where have you been? Long time no see. And Kaliya is going to say, I got a story to tell you. There's a place called Vrindavan, and the Jamuna River, and Krishna, and he danced in my head, and the gopis, and such a wonderful story he has to tell them. And in that Sangha, it's not said, but we know who else must have come there to that Sangha. All the snakes must have come there. Mm. But Garuda must have also come, because Garuda is very eager to hear Hari Katha. Huh? If he knows some Krishna Katha is going on, and Kali is speaking about his pastimes with Krishna in Vrindavan, Garuda will definitely come. So we can understand from that that Krishna Katha and Krishna Nam heals all enmities, even between Garuda and Kaliya. And those two great enemies, they become friends. Kaliya was marked by Krishna. And the devotees of Srila Prabhupada, they've also been marked by Srila Prabhupada. And he told them, he gave them mercy, he marked their hearts. He marked Mataji's heart. And he sent all of them back. Now you go away from Vrindavan, you go back and preach. It looks like cheating, it looks like some terrible punishment. But actually it's mercy. Because Kaliya never really left Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is that place wherever Krishna Katha is going on. So he didn't really banish Kaliya away at all. In actuality, he gave his mercy to Kaliya. So in conclusion, we'd like to give one final meaning to the word Kaliya. Iya means one who belongs to, and Kala is also a name for Krishna. So Kaliya also means one who belongs to Krishna. So Prabhupada said that he wanted our movement should establish Vrindavan villages all over the world. But to establish these Vrindavan villages, we have to purify our heart of the poisonous snake Kaliya, this malice and envy. Because we have to make our hearts Vrindavan. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Kaliya represents this obstacle in our bhajan, this obstacle that keeps us from residing in Vrindavan, this envy and malice of others. And in this pastime, if we think about it very deeply, Krishna and Balaram are teaching us how to deal with Kaliya and how to drive this poisonous snake out of our heart. So this is a little katha about Balaram. We hope he gets some pleasure from it, and all the Vaishnavas do. Please forgive us if we said anything wrong. Shikaliyo Dhamana Leela Ki, Shri Krishna Bhagavana Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Vancha Kopadaru Vishcha, Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Cha, Patitanam Pavani, Vaishnavi.
Kala means also
art? Yes, Kala also means art. Good point. He's also a great artist. Having Krishna dance on his head. Are there any questions or comments? Do you want to add anything? Would you? Mataji?
No, I just want to tell you that you were saying that the wife of the devotee, sometimes they give some...
good advice.
So one time in Vrindavan, Madhira, the wife of Teja, one of the close devotees of Srila Prabhupada.
I know Teja's trouble.
She yes. So she was a very good friend with Yamuna. And Teja did not like so much to see the friendship of Yamuna and Madhira. And he was really getting upset that he thought that Madhira, my wife now, she's with Yamuna, which was very wonderful devotee, very polite, very, very intense. Even Prabhupada said that she could be a GBC, and she had so much trouble with some of the biggest male devotees. So, one evening we had darshan with Srila Prabhupada in his room, and then in the middle of the sweet darshan, those darshan was very sweet in the evening during the construction. Like I told you before, no president, this and that. Prabhupada was. So it was so sweet that Prabhupada used to speak about intimate pastime of himself before he bring Krishna consciousness to the West. Very detailed and everything, very sweet. So Srila Prabhupada was talking like this in one moment, these stages, just like this. In one moment, where Prabhupada was not speaking, with between two words of Prabhupada, he came like this. Comment on dit, les pieds dans le plat. How he said in English? How he said that? It's an expression in French. Les pieds dans le plat.
Like a feet in the plate, but it means an
awkward,
unwelcome,
awkward. Awkward. Like this. He said, Srila Prabhupada, very strong. Srila Prabhupada, what can I do? My wife is not listening to me. so we got all in the middle of this. But Tejas is like this.
He's a very heavy
you
person.
You can understand. He's always awkward. But Prabhupada liked him, you know,
yes.
Very much.
He was
and
very
he trusted
hard.
Him very much. And he sent him actually to Orissa,
mm-hmm.
The first.
Yes.
You remember?
I talked to him about it.
Oh, okay. So Srila Prabhupada had a little silence like this. He went like this. He said, So. Your wife is not listening to you. If he was like this. He said, so, why don't you listen to us? So then, you can imagine the ladies.
They were next to see it.
With our hands like this outside the room of Prabhupada, the big man was coming out and we were jumping. Cannibal Prabhupada.
What is it called?
This also, maybe?
Oh. Hmm? You want to say something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so also about devotees who married, I'm not going to say demons because I don't know especially about what you just said now. But ladies, devotees who married, let's say, a very strange character, man. So do you want to hear something about
please,
that
please.
From Prabhupada?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No, we could say
no,
so
no,
much nectar. No. So one evening, we was in Srila Prabhupada's room. Like I told you, he was giving some stories of his life. So that night, he was telling us, my sister, my sister was so ashamed that even her husband was so bad that she would never say anything about it. So Shesh was Pishima. So we had very much, I personally had very
intimate dealing with Pishima. It's incredible. So, Prabhupada said, one day I went to my sister's house. It was a little late. Then her husband was not there. I said, Prabhupada has this language, you know. So I say, my dear sister, where is your husband? My sister would say, oh, my dear brother. They used to talk like this. My dear sister, my dear brother, between themselves. So, how do you say, delicate, you know. So, well. So, his sister would say, my dear brother, my husband is so busy working hard for us. That's why he delayed in coming. So Prabhupada said, we will talk. And then 2 hours pass and her husband had not come. So Prabhupada would say, my dear sister, it's becoming very late. Your husband has not come. Oh, my dear brother. And this will go on until Prabhupada leaves and the husband had not come. Prabhupada told her. So my sister, like I told you, was so chaste. She would never, never made a complaint. But I knew that her husband sometimes had not come. For 1 month in his house, he was doing all kind of nonsense. That means I'm not going to say, but we can imagine all kind of nonsense. He said, but her husband became sick at the time. He got older and he became sick, so he could not really move out of his house. So my sister, she took so good care of him that at the end of his life, her husband went back home, back to Godhead, in Krishna Loka. That's what Prabhupada said.
Good story, Krishna.
So she was married to a terrible man. Pishima was so sweet. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada was very fast in speaking back to somebody and a lot of humor. So, do you want to do something
now?
Because I will talk if you want.
Hmm?
No. So, had a lot of humor. So, Pishima, she looked like a little ball, little bit. She was small and very chubby. So, sometimes, she was coming in the room where was many devotees and generally also a lot of sannyasi and all that. So Pishima, she will come like this and she will enter, and Prabhupada was a person who joked so much, always, and who had very fast answer. Incredible. So he looked at her and he goes like this. He said, just look at her. How we call her? Did you ever see? She's so fatty, he said. Yes. Just look at her, she's so fatty. He said, do you see? I'm sorry, my English is bad, but I remember. So, did you ever see a person who is so fatty and who never eat? She always tell me, I never eat, my dear brother. So everybody start to laugh because Prabhupada was laughing so much. But the most funny, that we laugh even more, is that Pishima, who doesn't understand, who start to find a way to sit next to Prabhupada, look at what she is sitting, And she looks very much like Prabhupada, her face and everything. So she's sitting. So Prabhupada was going like that, laughing with eyes like a little boy, naughty boy. And she's sitting. She looks at everyone like this. She sees everyone laughing, even her brother. And she starts to laugh very much because she doesn't understand, doesn't she? So many moods like this of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. One time, Srila Prabhupada told her, one of these evenings, Prabhupada said that he was very much in love with a young girl. I was in love with a girl, but my father had arranged a marriage for me. He said, I love so much my father. I trust him so much that I accept this marriage. He said, in that way, Krishna saved me because I never was in love with my wife. Another time, Prabhupada said, one day I was in the train. It was in Bengal. I was in the train. And one station later, one prostitute came in the train where I was sitting. He said, one place next to me was empty. And one place with another man in front was also empty. He said, that prostitute, because Prabhupada explained that prostitute at that time had always
the pot.
Yeah, on the left. They had to. So everyone can recognize them to protect themselves, something. So Prabhupada said, this prostitute, she went to sit in this man, in front of me. Then Prabhupada said, two stations later, this prostitute went out of the train, and this man followed her. They went out together. He looked at her, she said, that day, Krishna saved me. So it's very deep. He was teaching, you know, but also, so all like this, we had so many, if you want something very, very nice, because you are very deep, you can think about it. Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, and he just came, he had gone in his room, not so long, he came. And in front of his house, he asked about one devotee. I cannot remember the name. So that devotee had left Vrindavan and had left his service. Because we was not allowed to be in Vrindavan without a service. Prabhupada said, only 3 days. If you don't have a service, so service, of course, is different today than before. There is the, how do you say, les leçons de Srimad Bhagavatam, tout ça. There is so many kind of service today. Hearing with the Bhakti Shastri and all that. But that time, So then Srila Prabhupada stopped like this, and Prabhupada said, it was a big thing for me. That day he opened a little more, he took so much impersonalism out of me that time. When you are next to Prabhupada, it's unbelievable what happened. So Prabhupada said, he's not there. So, you see, my devotees, it's very easy for them to get away of their family, to break attachment like this. It's very easy for them. But the problem, they do not get attached to Krishna. So, then Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna gives you a service. Then, listen to that. Because we think sometimes we are so far from Krishna. But actually, because of the mercy of our Sampradaya and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada at that time, we are actually very near. Because Prabhupada was there with us, giving us service, taking care. So Krishna is always with him. Prabhupada and Krishna, they cannot be separate. So actually, at the same time that you are reading Prabhupada's book, I will tell you the last thing, because I know you are tired. After, remember me about the books. It's very important. And I will stop like this. So then Srila Prabhupada said, so Krishna give you a service. So he looked that everything is all right. So you are doing this service. And Prabhupada said, just simple, like this. Like you are here and you turn. You speak to me, you give me something to do. You know, real. So then Prabhupada says, so Krishna see you that you are in this service. Then Krishna turn back and goes to do something else. Something else. So then Krishna comes back and he comes to see how you doing in your service. And he doesn't find you anymore. Then Prabhupada went like that. He has this cane, went like that. Prabhupada said, in that way, you disturb Krishna very much. That was so incredible. You can meditate on this. And next time we meet, you can tell me more about that. And then, so about the books, then yeah. I stop because I have hundreds. So one time Srila, this is for the devotees who have not met Srila Prabhupada personally, who have not seen him, who have very nice spiritual master, disciple of him. But still, I was in very much trouble recently. I took shelter of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because in that situation I had to face terrible situation where I was accused. So in meditation I put Srimad Bhagavatam in front of my heart to face that in the assembly. So you also, devotees who have not met Srila Prabhupada, is, as you know, one pure devotee of which you can take shelter, like Sanatana Goswami, like Bhaktisiddhanta. In that way, there is no problem between great Vishnu. No barrier, nothing. So, is your guru, is my guru? No, I can never see that. I don't see. I see all devotees who have no meet Srila Prabhupada, who are not disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I don't make difference. Because, in general, all the devotees who have come to this movement have served Prabhupada. And will serve eternally Prabhupada because he is one of the Shen. So they serve actually all the pure devotees of this Sampradaya. So I cannot make difference between you and me. I cannot. So, Srila Prabhupada was very sick. He was. And I was outside of his room. And actually, I was crying. Because Srila Prabhupada was sitting, just imagine, if everybody knows Prabhupada's room. So we had put a bed with a moustiquaire mosquito net. And I had done some cleaning, everything, and I sat down. And actually, devotees had asked, I think everyone was doing the bhajan around the world for him. It was not at the time where he left his body. It was before. I am very bad with the years. So, I was sitting, and I was crying. I didn't know what to do. You see, your guru, your Prabhupada, that you love so much that you can die for him, and you see him with his hand on his head and doing, oh, oh, like this, oh, like that. Then suddenly, Brahmananda, who was there, come out and he said to me, Prabhupada asked you to bring Bhakti Kishori. That was my little daughter that he was so much giving mercy to her. He showed a lot of affection, everything. Actually, Prabhupada told my husband one time, he called Sarabhi and he said, protect them very much. Bhakti Kishori myself. Okay, this, I am not gentle at all. I'm not a devotee, etc. And when I say that, I mean it. But still, Prabhupada said, you have to protect them very much because they are so gentle. Please, anyone will take advantage of them. So please, give good protection to them. So, he was very gentle with Bhakti Kishori, with myself also. So then, I came with my daughter. And Prabhupada is sitting in his bed. I'm sitting at his feet. And I'm looking at him like this. Then my husband was there, Surabhi. And Brahmananda was there. So ladies, don't mind, but Prabhupada said, he was looking at me. And I felt embarrassed at that moment. Prabhupada was looking at me. And he was taking Brahmananda, like this, next to him. And he was looking at me. And Prabhupada said, Brahmananda, unless one takes sannyas, he is always under illusion. Sorry. Ladies. But Prabhupada was saying so many other things also. We can accommodate to that. There is no controversy in what a pure devotee said, even if he seems to be contrary. The controversy is not. So then Prabhupada turned to my husband and then he took his and then he said, I have put everything. No, first he said, I made it very simple for you to go back home. So he had such a big headache. He preached always. Prabhupada said, I made it very simple for you to go back home, back to Godhead, in this lifetime. Everything is in my book. Simply read my books. I made it very simple for you. So after that, came so many, every time, every moment, Prabhupada appeared. I meditate on him. Although I'm a stupid person, but Prabhupada actually is true. He opened this, you know what he did. I don't say he's more than this one, that one. Prabhupada told her, never think, never try to think that Mother Yasoda is less advanced than Sri Madharani, Srimati Radharani, etc. Because a glass is small or is big, is always happy, satisfied because he's full in the spiritual world. So, okay, because I have cut now what I was saying about Prabhupada. But you. Hein?
Demain, tu peux continuer parce qu'il y a.
Comment?
Demain, tu peux continuer.
Alors, qu'est-ce que je disais là? Dis-moi. Tout le monde a faim. Voilà. Everybody wants to eat. Arrivons.
Thank you.